Well, how are you this afternoon?
We're all okay here. It's been sort of a deceptive day in terms of ability to get outside my backyard. A yard indeed is heavily influenced by my New Jersey upbringing, and I think my backyard thinks it's the Meadowlands. Marshy, very marshy.
Oh dear, I'm sorry to hear that.
I haven't found any dead bodies yet, mind you.
Right, Jimmy Hoffa's not out there.
He may be. We have no proof.
Okay, all right.
I mean, they didn't find him in Giant Stadium. Maybe. I mean, I'd say odds are at least decent that he's somewhere in Maine. You know, and he's not alone.
What?
I don't know anything about that, of course.
No.
rumors, merely rumors.
Guys talk, you hear things.
Yeah, well, I hear nothing at all. How's everything over at the studio? Good?
It's quiet over here.
No, we're
here. We're doing what we do. Yeah, they're not. Well, three of us in the building. So a lot of room.
All right.
A lot of physical distancing.
You have power back at your house, I hope, Rich.
76 hours later, yes, indeed. We are
brilliant.
Spinning that Amera wheel, yes.
And Carrie, I know Liz at the studio. Did the studio suffer any losses?
We had a video card that burnt out. That was the extent of our damage here.
Dramatic. Very good. All right. We lost. Yeah, we actually managed to keep our power. Don't hate us.
No, not at all. Glad.
But we were actually very, very lucky. One of the only houses probably. And it's really, I must say, for people who try to, you know, offer up our, you know, whatever we have to people, this is a very strange time when all of your friends and neighbors would like a hot shower, and you just like, well, I bet you would. It's very bad. I felt very, very unneighborly recently, but we're getting there. So anyway, I hope everybody is doing well. We at Bangor Wine are still, you know, keeping on doing what we're doing. I must say, I mean, even in the midst of, you know, this craziness, there's a lot of really, you know, this is the time of year that we start to get in new vintages. People are bringing in new wines that they've discovered, new beers, all sorts of stuff, but especially new wines, because this is definitely the time when the new vintage has sort of started to roll out. So I hope everybody's keeping up with the videos we're posting online, newsletters. And if you'd like to receive our newsletter, by the way, you can sign up online for that as well at our website. And obviously our videos are being posted on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. But just wicked, really, really, really cool stuff. So last night I took advantage of last night was a biodynamic fruit night, right? So I took advantage and took our wine of the week home and drank it. And for those of you who don't keep up on what we do for Wine of the Week, and it's also actually our wine club wine this month, I've been, as I said, sort of trying to put out, you know, unique things. And this particular one is from a very high-altitude vineyard north of Madrid. If anybody's a fan of sort of light, lower-alcohol fresh wines, check it out.
Is it the Gredos Mountains? Is that right?
The Gredos Mountains, yeah. It's actually kind of cool. I mean, this isn't our topic for the day, but I've been sort of fascinated by this discovery that granitic soil, right, granite, is being utilized around the world in the way that Beaujolais, the region of Beaujolais, they're better soils, which we refer to as the sort of cru Beaujolais. That was all on granitic soil. It was all whole cluster fermentation. And I think it's fair to say that Deboeuf and all these other Beaujolais Nouveau guys really kind of ruined the reputation of Beaujolais, because they make some really, really serious wines in a very sort of old style. And now we're finding, you know, this wine from the high altitude granite soils of the little village where it comes from, called Cenicientos, The wine that we did last week, the Matorral, which is high-altitude granite soils in Chile with 200-year-old Pais vines. You're seeing it in, like, South Africa. A lot of places where there have been sort of, it's interesting being home with my kids and they're studying geology, where there's been, you know, protrusions of rock sort of thrust up from you know, ages and ages and ages past that people are really exploiting to create wines that are not these typical, like, you think a lot about sort of, you know, Spanish Grenache or Garnacha, or you think about, you know, wines from Chile or Argentina or South Africa or Australia. Like, they're all very heavy. Sort of the stuff that they've been bringing into America has been with a focus of Americans like barbecue sauce and Pepsi. And that's fair, but there's just a whole generation now of people making wine that is much more typical of agricultural product. It's fresh. It's picked with an aim of acidity, not over-ripeness. And it's really fascinating to me that all these people are doing this. And again, you know, using what we call whole clusters. They're not taking the berries off. They're just basically throwing whole clusters of grapes in, which gives you more tannin, more developed character. But it's not for everybody. So it's just interesting to me to see how many of the new wines that are being presented to me by all sorts of importers are along that line of, you know, much more. I think it's what we all imagine when we think of, you know, the best sort of produce on earth, right? But with our wines, I think we've always sort of wanted our wines to be a little more decadent, and I think things are shifting. So it's been kind of fascinating for me to watch, even over the past couple of weeks as I've been sort of quarantined. It's been really obvious by what people are sending me, what sort of wines are appearing. So folks, look out for that. If you want a sort of a wine trend for the future, that's it. And it's going to be pretty exciting. I'm sure some people who like, you know, believe me, there's plenty of, you know, 14.5 ABV heavy, rich wine out there. And occasionally I like that too, but it's fascinating to see how sort of everywhere around the globe right now people are being led in this different direction. So,
3 minutes left, sir.
I'm sorry?
3 minutes left.
3 minutes left.
Yes.
Well, very good. This is the day. So we've been talking about, you know, cooking and everything with alcohol. This is the day I talk about cider. Cider is obviously increased in popularity recently, both for the gluten-free crowd as well as just the people seeking an alternative beverage. Things I like to remind people about cider. First of all, it is wonderful for cooking because, I mean, it's basically, you know, depending on which cider you pick, very often they are flavored. But let's just pretend it's like plain apple, you know, cider. It is, you know, fermented quality, usually heirloom apples, right? So they're apples of a certain intensity that really adds wonderfully to baking especially, but in all sorts of things. You can make wonderful glazes out of it. Cider, originally the term is actually a Jewish term. I'm going to mispronounce it, but I mispronounce everything, so whatever. So originally it was a shikar, and it eventually made its way to France. And then during the Norman invasion, it made its way over to Britain. And from Britain, it made its way to the States. And we all remember the phylloxera louse. When the phylloxera louse destroyed all the vineyards in Europe, cider became very, very popular, especially here in the States, because as anybody who's traveled throughout the Northeast knows, we have a lot of orchards. So that is sort of the U.S. history with cider. But I definitely recommend, you know, if you're trying to, you know, we're all in this weird sort of, I'm cooking every day for Roman legions, despite the fact that I'm, you know, only with two people. Certainly that's what I'm doing. I've already baked like three things today. But check it out. You know, grab next time you're, you know, picking up stuff from Bangor Wine and Cheese, have a throw, you know, can of good quality cider in there and try it out in your cooking. I think you'd be really surprised.
Excellent. 10 to 2 every day for curbside pickup, right?
That is correct. So thank you very much. Yeah, 10 to 2 for curbside every day except Sunday. So give us a call or catch us on the computer, and we will help you out as we always do.
Awesome. Thank you, Eric. Have a great week. We'll check in next Tuesday.
Thanks, gents. Bye-bye.
That's Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. They are at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Still there, serving you, even in these tough times, and can offer advice, too, over the phone as well. Check them out.